Well, again, good morning. In the last couple of weeks, we have been discussing the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22 and in Mark chapter 12, a lawyer asked Jesus, among all the commandments, which one is the greatest? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus goes ahead and says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and give you the second greatest too. It's to love your neighbor more than you love yourself. So we are to love God with everything. We aren't to hold anything back. Everything means everything. Nothing is left out of everything. And loving God in our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves should show in our everyday lives, right? Right? Right. Thank you. Now, I know, sadly, some Christians don't want to hear it. It's a true statement. Some Christians don't want to hear about what I'm going to talk about over the next several weeks, and that's commitment. But the fact is, if you're going to follow Jesus, it will involve sacrifice. It will involve effort. It will involve devotion. It's going to require more than the average spiritual growth program of 15 minutes of Bible reading a day. The truth of the matter is, a lot of Christians are scared to death of commitment. A sad statement is a lot of Christians don't like the idea of commitment. A lot of Christians think that I'm already committed to a lot of other things, Ryan. Truth of the matter is, Jesus has always demanded one's all in following him. Jesus Christ never made an exception. He never will make an exception. So why is it sometimes that we think for some reason that when it comes to me, God's going to make an exception for my life? I don't necessarily have to be 100% committed to Jesus. I can just go in at about 60 or 70 or maybe 80% or maybe even 99%, and God's going to be okay. Because after all, God loves me. And so God understands what's going on in my life. God understands what I have to do, what I have to deal with. And so God's going to make an exception. Listen, if God in Christ could have made exception for anyone, it should have been the rich young ruler, right? If God was going to make exceptions, the rich young ruler should have waited and went to Jesus when he was making exceptions. I want us to look at a passage this morning for the remainder of our time. Romans chapter 12. If you don't already have it, your Bibles are out, please get them out, and let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I want us to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said that there were, by the mercies of God, that we, Christians, are to present ourselves, our bodies, as living and holy sacrifices, that we needed to be acceptable to God. We needed to be pleasing to God. Now, I've got Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you can see it, I've got it in the New English Translation because they translate it in a way that I want us to bring out this morning. They translate it in a way that I believe really brings out the meaning of the verse. The meaning of what Paul is trying to get out here. Listen to what he says. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice. He says this, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed, he says, to the present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, what is well-pleasing, what is perfect. So what is Paul calling us to? Commitment. Paul is calling us to commitment, a total transformation. Paul says God just doesn't want you to offer some of your life or a piece of your life or a part of your life, but we are to offer everything that we have to God. We are to be 100% totally committed to Christ Jesus in our bodies and in our lives. Paul says you are to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice that is being pleasing to God. Being holy to God. As being alive to God. You ever done the hokey pokey? Some of you are laughing like you've done it this past week. Wouldn't it be fun if we all get up and get the hokey pokey? No, I'm just kidding. But you put your right arm in, your right arm out, and at the end of the song, basically you put your whole self in, your whole self out. You know, that's Christianity. You put your whole self in. God doesn't want your arm, He doesn't want your leg, He just doesn't want your head. God wants everything about you involved in His life for His purpose. And that's the point of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We follow Christ no matter what. We follow Christ because we're committed. We love God with everything we have, not just because He tells us to, but because we're committed. We love others more than we love ourselves, not just because God tells us to, because we are what? Committed. For the next few minutes, I want us to look at what Paul is trying to tell us, and I want us to look at those three words, alive and holy and pleasing to God. You know, the book of Romans is a great book. The first seven chapters of the book of Romans can be broken down into three words: condemnation, justification, and sanctification. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, Paul establishes the principle of sanctification. Paul is telling us why we should be holy. Go ahead and turn back there. We're going to read it together. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Paul tells us why we should be committed, why we should live sanctified lives, okay? God tells you to love Him with everything you got, and Paul tells you to love God and be committed, but Paul is going to tell us why we should do it. So Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. Follow along with me. I'm going to read fast. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died into sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death shall no longer be master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves, Paul says, to be dead to sin. Paul says, consider yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. The literal wording there for the word consider means to mark down. In other words, Paul is telling these Christians, it's not enough just to know certain things. It's not enough just to know that I'm supposed to be alive in Christ Jesus, that I'm supposed to be found alive in God. He says, I want you to consider the full implication of really what that means. Paul says, you guys have been baptized. You are dead to sin. You've been baptized into Christ Jesus. But I'm not sure you quite totally grasp the whole concept of what that means. Paul says, I don't think you really get it. I don't think you really understand what it means to die to sin. Paul says in verse 2, you know, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Should we still live in it? So to be alive to God means that we need to be dead to sin. If you've died with Christ, who died for you, who paid the price of sin for you, then no longer shall you live as though you're a slave to sin. Instead, we're supposed to dedicate ourselves to God. We are supposed to commit ourselves to God, to doing His will to the best of our abilities. Most of us here have seen the wanted pictures, the wanted posters. You know, in the Old West, they put wanted, and they have your picture and the reward, you know, dead or alive. I want you to imagine you're looking at a poster, and it says wanted, and there's your picture. And at the bottom, it's not saying dead or alive, but it's saying dead but alive. You see, that's the way it is with God. God doesn't want you dead or alive. God wants you dead but alive. He doesn't want you just to be dead. God wants you to be alive. Not just dead to sin, but alive to Him. How's that working out in our lives? You see, this whole concept, this next concept of holiness, holy living, God says that we're to live holy lives, lives that are pleasing to Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed, he says, to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, he says, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. Sorry, I actually had a screen on that. You shall be holy because I am holy. So the question is, are we more concerned with getting right or living right? Are we more concerned with getting right or living right? Are we more concerned with claiming to be sinners saved by the grace of God rather than to saying that we are holy saints of God? It seems to me that the world and most Christians that I come into contact with think that holy living really isn't all that important anymore. That we live in a different age. That we live in a different time. And so too many Christians think that they can look like the world, think like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, and think, you know what? God is pleased with that. God is pleased with that. Holy conduct is demanded upon Christians. Holy conduct is demanded upon Christians. Holiness carries the idea of being separated from the world, living according to the laws of God and not of the world. Okay? So how is that working in our lives? How is holy living working out in our lives? Just recently in my Bible class on Sunday morning, we're going through the One Word series. And so some of you know about holiness, or you should know about holiness. Holiness, or holy living, we need to understand, is defined by God. And it is only defined by God. That is what so many people seem to forget. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot redefine holiness. God has already defined it. God has already set into motion what holiness looks like, what holiness acts like. Society cannot define what is holy or acceptable to God. Society tries to, but society cannot do that. We cannot redefine it. The only thing that we can do is accept it and live it. And he says your lives need to be pleasing to God. How we live our lives day in and day out reflects our relationship with God. I believe the Bible teaches that very plainly and abundantly so. We also learn that God loves us dearly. God wants us to live lives that are pleasing to Him. He isn't willing, 2 Peter 3:9, that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to die a sinner's death. 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul is talking about being with the Lord versus being here on earth, and he says this, therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Paul says, whether I'm alive or dead physically, my aim is to please God. My aim is to please God. That is my purpose. He says, I long for a communion with God. That's a relationship with God. He says, you know what? I've got the union down pat. I'm a part of God. Christ is living in me, but I want to have a relationship with Him. And so he writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and verse 10, for you were formerly in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk, he says, as children of light. Then he says in verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to God. I love what C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Weight of Glory. He said this, and it's on the screen, the promise of glory is the promise, almost incredible and only possible by the work of Christ, that some of us, that any of us who really chooses, shall find approval, shall please God. To please God, he says, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in as an artist delights in his work, or a father in a son. He said, it seems impossible, a weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain, but so it is. Every decision that you make, every choice that you have in front of your life right now, this very second, every choice that you have in life, there is a chance that you can bring happiness to God. Did you know that? In every single decision that you make in your life, I have the opportunity to make God happy with my decision. Romans 12 and verse 2. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. He's talking to Christians. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what the will of God is. That which is good, and that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect. In other words, don't live like the world. Be committed. He says God doesn't want another copycat. There are too many copycats in the world. There's too many people trying to be like everybody else. And God says, I want you to be like my son, Jesus Christ. I want you to be different. I want you to be committed. You see, there's so many pressures around us to be like the world. And Paul says, don't give in to that. Instead, I want you to go in and I want you to change your mind. I want you to renew your mind. What does that mean? That means we change our thinking patterns from worldliness to godliness. And he ends this verse with saying, when you do that, when you renew your mind, you'll be able to test and to prove what the will of God is. In other words, I believe Paul is telling us, you'll be able to understand more. You'll be able to understand better. You'll be able to understand that what God is telling you, he wants you to put it into practice. And you'll have the willpower to put that into practice. You'll have the encouragement to put that into practice. You see, when we take and when we put on this worldly mindset, as so many people do, all we try and do is we try to bend the Word of God. We try to bend the Word of God. We try to distort His Word to anything that we see fit. And we're no longer concerned about God's will. We're no longer concerned about what God wants for us or what's best in God's eyes. We're no longer concerned about God's will. Instead, we've created our own God for our own selfish ways. Let me close this lesson this morning by asking you, are you alive in Christ Jesus? Have you been baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all of your sins? Are you living a holy life that is pleasing to God? Not in your own definition, but in God's definition. Is your life this morning pleasing to God? I've said it again, and I'm going to keep saying it, so you'll probably get tired of it. That's okay. God demands total commitment. God demands total commitment. And it's not out of our reach to do so. We serve a just God. We serve a God that would not give us something, a command of us something that is totally, out of our reach. God knows it can be done. In fact, I can look in Scripture, I can see several times where it's been done. And so through His mercy and through His grace, He begs us to transform our lives to His Son, being fully committed to Him. And He says, then you have the promise of heaven. You know, living life is an everyday experience. Offering ourselves to God isn't something that we do in a 60-minute worship period on Sunday morning. We need to understand that. A living sacrifice is one that is alive and that is continuous in action. Listen, sacrificial people are changed people. Sacrificial people are changed people. Their sacrifice, their renewal, their commitment is seen in their walk. It's seen in their talk. It's seen in their personality. So the question as I close this morning is, there's one guy that says, you know, what's in your wallet? What's in your life? And I pray this morning it's holiness. I pray this morning that your life couldn't be more pleasing to God. And God is pleased with that. That's what I pray for. But I know that we face different struggles and difficulties in our lives. And I pray that if we can help you in any way this morning, that you'll make it known as we stand and sing a song for your encouragement.